Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's talk housing and numbers. The Metropolitan Area Planning Council estimates that Greater Boston will need to add at least 300,000 new housing units over the next 25 years to keep up with demand if the population keeps growing at the same rate it is now. And so the state legislature is considering a proposal that aims to ease the tight housing market by making it easier for developers to build multifamily units. Representative Kevin Honan sponsored the legislation.
We have such a crisis on our hands, we need to take extraordinary measures to allow for more density in the Commonwealth.
Now, he said extraordinary measures, and why is that? Because another way of looking at it, the bill would force towns to zone for multifamily uses. That worries many municipalities because they fear that large multifamily development projects would put extra strain on their budgets and could change the very fabric of their communities. So let's discuss this now in a little bit more detail. Michael Goodman joins us. He's the executive director of the Public Policy Center at UMass Dartmouth. Michael Goodman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Also today, we're joined by Jeff Beckwith, executive director of the Massachusetts Municipal Association. Jeff, welcome to you.
Thanks. It's great to be on.
It's great to have you both. So briefly, Michael, before we sort of dive in to a lot of the nitty-gritty, can you just give us a quick summary of exactly what this legislation is aiming to do?
Essentially, it would grant developers an as-of-right entitlement to develop multifamily housing in any community in Massachusetts.
And as of right, meaning they wouldn't have to get special permitting or zoning?
That's right. They wouldn't need extra special permission to do it. And it would be in an area of the community that would be designated by the town. It wouldn't have to be everywhere, but it would have to be something that was allowed in every corner of the Commonwealth.
Okay. So, Jeff, at first blush, this seems like a pretty good solution, like reduce the amount of red tape to increase the likelihood of multifamily housing being built in a place where there's incredible demand on housing. But I understand that the Mass Municipal Association, it doesn't have a perspective on this yet, but you've got some concerns.
We certainly do. And the legislation, of course, has challenges at multiple levels. Overall, it is appropriate, I think, to have resistance to as-of-right zoning. In particular, this legislation is being put forward with the primary sponsors behind it being realtors and developers in great part because, and I don't think this is intended by Michael or legislative sponsors, but it would provide for significant windfall profits for developers. There's nothing in the legislation that would actually require any of the units to be affordable. As we've seen in the trends most recently with multifamily developments, the profit motive is essentially leading to more luxury condos, apartments.
Yeah, so stop right there. Because
up the cost of housing, not down.
I completely take your point. Before we got to some other ones, I do want to get Michael Goodman's take on it because it's a really important one. I don't think there's anything in the proposal that says the new housing being built in these as-of-right zones would have to be affordable housing.
That's right. And I think that's appropriate, and I'll tell you why. Real estate developers make money. That's certainly something that how our development system works, and I don't think that in itself is a bad thing. Part of the reason housing is so unaffordable here in Massachusetts is that we just produce so little of it. And a big part of the reason why we don't produce enough housing to meet the demand, that the market is not allowed to meet the demand for new housing, is that we have very severe restrictions on development at the local level.
But help me understand something, though. If we're increasing the supply on the luxury end, how does that help? I mean, just say that that's what would happen here. How does that help meet the demand in the middle?
No, I think the status quo produces plenty of supply at the luxury end because by the time you've gotten all through those restrictions and dealt with the land costs and the other kinds of legal costs that are associated with getting anything done here on housing development in Massachusetts, the only way to make a dime is to have a very high-end apartment. If, in fact, you were able to build more densely on very expensive land, which, by the way, we're not making any more of, you could actually have unit costs that are more competitive, and you could allow the market to do what it does best, which is to allow buyers and sellers to meet one another in the middle.
Jeff, are you sold on that?
Well, I think it's important to take a look at what we already have here in terms of tools for developers to promote affordable housing. We have something called 40B, which is a comprehensive permit process that does allow developers to come forward with projects that have the significant density far beyond what's zoned locally. Developers, in general, if you take a look at the trends over the last 10, 20 years, have come in with the minimum amount of affordable housing that's proposed. They generally get these projects permitted generally through the state, and again, with the minimum amount of affordable housing. And even then, when there are audits done afterwards and we see that developers have made windfall profits, they don't. They're supposed to give those profits back so they can be used by the community for affordable housing, and they're not doing that.
Yeah.
So there are some real challenges. I think that one of the fundamental issues is around the question of zoning and who's in control of zoning. And I think one of the parts about Massachusetts and New England is so frustrating to so many people is that zoning really is controlled in most communities by the citizens, by the voters, through town meeting. And it's hard to get zoning changes through, but in great part that's because it's the folks, the citizens who are homeowners, who are concerned about what the impact is going to be on what their assets are.
Jeff, let me just jump in here because I do want to get Michael's perspective on this because it's another one of those sort of core Massachusetts issues that this proposal really confronts head on. I mean, this as Jeff points out, it's a tradition as old as the Commonwealth.
I don't think anybody is suggesting that local governments should be abolished or somehow regional governments should be imposed.
But you are basically saying in these zones that you wouldn't, I mean, like that developers wouldn't have to get special permitting for.
There are certain things that communities don't get a choice on. They don't get a choice on whether to offer public educational services. They don't get a choice on whether to allow for discriminatory behavior at the local level. There are all kinds of constraints on local power. I think the issue is really you have a lot of smaller communities, cities and towns, that don't have the capacity, technical or otherwise, or the sophistication to engage in the kind of planning that allows you to account for some of the concerns that I think are legitimate, whether or not the community is going to end up with more costs than revenues as a result of the development. In some cases, that's true. In some cases, it's not. With intelligent planning, it's very seldom a problem. It's also, I think, a lot of these communities don't have master plans or professional planners on staff. And so what ends up happening is all volunteer planning boards effectively yield to the lowest common denominator, to local concerns. And I think that's all often not in the best interest of those communities, but especially not in the best interest of the region and the state as a whole.
Jeff Beckwith, there is a concern that I've been hearing about communities fearing the increased burden with more density, which Michael just pointed out is a legitimate concern. But if I understand this correctly, the bill does include provisions to help cities and towns get more funding if they have increased costs for infrastructure, schools, et cetera. Does that not go quite a long way to assuage those concerns?
Well, it's sort of in a minuscule way. I mean, Michael's done some good work taking a look at the economic impact and whether or not large-scale housing developments generate tax income that should be available to offset the costs and so on. And in general, it shows that communities keep very little of that revenue. Most of the revenue goes back to the state in the form of income tax and sales tax and so on. It doesn't come back to communities. There's a minuscule program called the Chapter 40S program that's supposed to send money back to communities to help pay for some additional school costs associated with development of family housing. That's funded in the state budget now at $500,000. It's been around for a number of years. It's a very small program, doesn't even come close to matching the cost. But it's not really the primary issue and concern raised by local officials regarding developments. And then I have another point after this.
We're running out of time for a ton of points, though, Jeff. I'm sorry to say.
About the cost of the services or the programs as much as it is whether or not the development itself will essentially be sustainable for a neighborhood or a community. And the problem with legislation that has a one-size-fits-all approach would have one State Department that could not in any way ever know what's appropriate in a neighborhood or a community in every part of the state, having that control, which is the reason why zoning is more of a local function, much more of a local function, because you have that level of accountability.
Right. And so, Michael Goodman, your response to that?
Well, I think if we leave the status quo as it is, we can expect the same results. Expecting anything different is the definition of insanity. So if we think that we're not getting enough housing to meet our needs, and I think the evidence is clear on that, then we have to do something to allow for development to take place where the market demands. And I think this is an important step in that direction.
Well, instead of legislation like this that would actually, we think, be more harmful and provide a profit motive for more expensive developments and luxury apartments and condos, our proposal is to empower communities to have what's called inclusionary zoning, to require developers to have affordable units at certain levels. A couple of communities are able to use this just because of the way that they're grandfathered in. Cambridge has just yesterday announced a proposal to increase the number of affordable units that would be required in developments. We think that that's the kind of approach to empower communities to require affordable development from developers, and that's the kind of legislation we think would be helpful to addressing this problem.
Well, another interesting idea on the table there, and we should say, of course, that the bill or the legislation that we've been discussing today is still pending on Beacon Hill, so we'll see what happens with that. Jeff Beckwith, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Municipal Association, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And Michael Goodman, Executive Director of the Public Policy Center at UMass Dartmouth, thank you so much for joining us. Interesting idea to deal with, as you know, we've said on this show many, many times, a housing crisis that we're in Massachusetts. Thanks so much.
Critically important problem. Thank you.
Well, listeners, let us know what you think about this proposal. Go to radioboston.org and send us a comment. And stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.